I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Golfer Gal, we have a great show for you this week. We're going to talk a little bit about the U.S. Open and how disastrous our picks were, and then we're going to have a special interview with someone from Mizuno Golf, who is going to be here to tell you all about the latest technology for helping golfers get better, and that's something that I'm real excited to hear about, as I know you are as well.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited about that because, as we've said a million times, it's so important to get fit for your clubs.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're both a little worn out from the 25 hours of golf we've watched the last 3 days.
Well, as much as I love primetime golf, it's on way past my bedtime. Saturday didn't end till 11 o'clock, and I'm old, and I go to bed at 9 now.
Yeah, that's we do live in Florida, and that's where the old folks come to retire and die.
Exactly.
I want to congratulate Graham McDowell on his incredible win. You know, he was basically the guy left standing. He played great golf and deserves all the credit in the world.
Yes, I'm very excited for him. I'm very happy. I'm not going to lie. When his dad came and ran out on the field,
It's called a course.
I know. You know, I started to say course, and then field came out because I'm looking at it saying U.S. Open field right now. So I said it while I was reading it.
Excuses. Let's quickly go through our predictions.
Okay.
Who did you have as your disappointment this week?
Well, my disappointment up until Sunday was not a disappointment at all. I had Dustin Johnson. But yesterday, he proved me right.
Well, he's still a top 10. I don't know if we could say that.
He is still a top 10, but he finished at...
I agree. I think he shot 80 or higher than 80 yesterday.
82.
And not a good round by Dustin, and you know, especially for a guy who played that well for the first 3 days.
I know. I thought he owned it. When he was up by 3 strokes at the end of the day on Saturday, I thought, it's done. It's over. He's going to win. And once again, my picks were a disaster. But
and mine,
I felt good about it.
Mine was even worse. I picked Tiger Woods to be the disaster, and despite his best efforts yesterday, he came up well short. I didn't think he played well yesterday at all.
No, he didn't. He didn't play well yesterday at all. But I know that there's big Phil Tiger debate, and I'm not even going to get into it. For me, it was just exciting to actually see him do well on Saturday because I haven't been watching golf long enough to see Tiger at his best. So it was pretty cool to watch some of the better shots, like his second shot on 18 on Saturday.
No question about it. And, you know, Saturday's round was incredible. And I wouldn't say you haven't seen him at his best. You saw him at Torrey Pines.
Right. But and besides that, he hadn't done too much. He took a break after Torrey Pines to get surgery on his knee. And then he came back and won. He won at Bay Hill. And I think he won Memorial, right?
Yeah, he won quite a few tournaments.
Right.
But the streak continues. He still has never come from behind on a Sunday to win a major.
No, 42 times. This will make 43 now that he has not come from behind to win a major.
And, you know, like you said, he hasn't been around a lot. I wouldn't say he hasn't been busy. We both know he's been busy. Who did you have as your dark horse pick?
My dark horse was Matt Kuchar, and he did okay.
Yeah, he actually did quite well, especially he was one of the few guys going, I'll use the term low, for Sunday.
Yeah, he shot 3 under on Sunday. He finished at +4, and he was tied for 6, so I'm really happy with that pick. Actually.
Absolutely. My dark horse pick, I'm not even sure he teed off, and that was Brian Gay. And he was not around for the weekend.
No. That hurt, too, because I really like him.
Yeah, I know, and you've spent some time with him and interviewed him on a couple of occasions. And, yeah, he did not play well. Who did you have as your winner?
Well... The winner pick didn't go so well. I had Zach Johnson as my winner. And
It went well until he played that hole.
That 14th hole and shot, I think, a 9 on it.
I think he put up a 9.
He did. He put up a 9. I feel like I need to send his family a basket or something.
He likes barbecue.
Yeah, I need to apologize to them because I pretty much cursed him, and I cursed him bad. I feel terrible.
You know, my winner fared okay. I picked Phil to win.
Right.
Not exactly. I didn't exactly go out on a limb there. He was the favorite going in. He should have won it yesterday.
He should have.
I look at that and I say, you know, he kind of choked. I thought he was gracious to the golf course after the fact. And I appreciate that most of the players were extremely gracious in their post-round interviews. But he had to make the putts. The first 7 holes were still obtainable. Birdies could still be had, and he didn't get it done.
He had a putt where he could make eagle. He didn't get the eagle putt. He didn't get the birdie putt either. He's lucky he made the par putt. So
that was upsetting.
Right.
He did not get it done with the putter, and it was tough to watch for him and Ernie with the putter.
Oh, I know. I was watching between my fingers like it was a scary movie because I couldn't watch. My heart was racing.
But the U.S. Open is past us, and we have more majors coming up soon, and obviously more great golf coming up soon that we'll have previews for. And this is THP, so of course more contests.
Always. But
we have a guest that I don't want to waste any more time getting to, and that is Chuck Couch from Mizuno Golf, and we are going to talk about a special little device they have called the Mizuno Shaft Optimizer. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Josh, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
We've been talking a lot about it on the site ever since we found out a little more about it at the PGA Merchandise Show in January. And I've actually gone through it, as I know hundreds of people who read our site and listen to this radio show have. And I found it pretty exceptional, not so much for the little gadget, and we'll get to that a little bit later, but it was actually extremely accurate to me as somebody who's gone through multiple fittings.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that. That was when we wrote the concept sheet about 3 years ago. That was one of the things we wanted to make sure that had to shine through when a consumer went through the PFS and the Shaft Optimizer, that they came away and they're like, wow, that was a perfect line between super scientific and super fast. And that was a tough road to walk, but we think we did a pretty good job with that.
We definitely agree. And it's funny you said 3 years ago, and that kind of goes into the first question that I was going to ask you was, where did the idea of this whole concept come from and how long was it in development?
Well, it was about 3 years long, and it really came from a concept sheet that Mizuno USA and Mizuno Europe wrote for the global market. And we had always, and I say us in Europe, we had always been extremely strong in fitting and custom availability and building all of our products, the irons and the wedges, to have multiple heads, multiple shafts, multiple grips, and having something for the consumer that maybe they don't get the experience from other places. And the whole thing was titled Commercialization versus Personalization. And we are so big on the personalization side. And the concept sheet actually had an example in it. We were like, if you go out to get fit for a suit or you get fit for a dress, you just don't walk in and say, okay, that's me, I'll take it off the rack. No, it's going to be fine, let's go. Because it's a considerable purchase, and you want to make sure that it's built for your DNA. And the fitting process was the exact same way. No matter who you are, you have a different swing DNA from the next person that's in line. So let's make sure that we have all the tools in place that measures your swing DNA so that your input is what's driving the output, but do that very quickly, efficiently, scientifically, in a way where the consumer is really part of the process versus just feeling like they're getting brute force fitting. So 3 years ago, we wrote the concept sheet. We did three different huge battery of tests with consumers and with fitters watching the interaction, and then we tweaked it all along the way and then tried to introduce it to where it's as big as we can make it, and it works in our world, and that someone that walks in feels like they're getting that personal attention, and that the clubs, the output, the shafts, everything put together is personal for their swing DNA. And in a nutshell, we've been very fortunate that it seems to work very well lately.
I love the idea of personalization because I think that it also is an education where some people don't really understand, and we've tried to stress as much as possible how important it is to get fit. But it's one thing to get fit, and it's another thing to understand what you're getting fit for and why.
Right. No, very much so, and that's why one thing that we saw in the very first battery of testing is that we did a good job of finding all the sum of the parts, but we needed to make sure there was a confirmation stage to where you as the person that's maybe fitting and you as the person that's getting fit, that the confirmation stage is, okay, you brought your club in, or, hey, you've got two or three you want to hit with the Mizuno, and then the confirmation is, look how much better you are hitting it, how much more square your hit is, or how much further the distance is, or how tight the dispersion is. That confirmation stage was the aha moment where consumers go, hey, I get it, and I'm going to play better. Let's go. So it was wonderful to see that, and we made sure that that was really driven home from us training the fitters and working with consumers and seeing what was valuable to them.
Before I get to the next question, I want to comment. There's one way you can always tell when a device like this is working. Walk into a golf store and they're actually using it to fit people on every brand. So the fitters certainly yeah. believe in it, whether that's right or wrong. It's funny to me when people the stores are using it for everything, and that pretty much confirms that how much people think about it. When you first see the thing, And the readers on our site and listeners of the radio show have probably seen pictures of it. It kind of looks like a little black doohickey clipped to the shaft, and, you know, people are going to hit it. And in reality, it's a lot more than that, because it is an actual club with all kinds of things going on it. What does it measure, and what does it mean?
Oh, that's a great question, Josh. And I'll address the first. You brought up an excellent point talking about, and we do a lot of secret shopping, secret observing, where we'll go to a retail store. And it's a real fun Saturday when you spend 6 hours and you just watch what's going on. You know, the store knows we're there, and we don't get involved. We just want to see what the consumer reaction is. And they do use it to fit all kinds of brands. At least it's the starting point, and we encourage that. And you might say, wow, Mizuno encouraged you to use the Shaft Optimizer no matter what you're fitting? Because we know if we're the experts in fitting and you're using our tools and we get in the consideration choice and 9 times out of 10, they will bring us into the consideration choice. We got a shot where we never had it before. So if we're the experts and they're going to use it and they're going to help consumers play better, then in the big scheme, long run, we're going to come out much more successful for it. Now, getting back to the little black doohickey, and that's a great way to describe it, and I actually use that word a lot. It's basically a microprocessor. And inside the graphite shaft, there's a lot of strain gauges. And the strain gauges are going to measure what you're doing in your swing all the way from takeaway all the way to delivering to the golf ball. Then also inside the little black doohickey is an accelerometer. And that's just a fancy way of saying we're going to get club head speed. So we can get wonderful club head speed with the accelerometer, which is not a very tough thing these days. A lot of people have great software to get the club head speed. But it also, the strain gauges are going to measure tempo. And that's an easy thing for consumers to understand. Tempo is, are you really... Are you moving quick through the shot? Or are you moving nice and slow? If you watch any of the golf lately, see Ernie Elswing, he's got such a brilliant slow tempo, but by no means is he a weak player. And then you look at someone like a Tiger Woods, for example, very strong, physical. His tempo is a little higher, and you know what kind of player he is, so it measures wonderful tempo. The three things that are a little bit more difficult for the consumer at first is toe down, kick angle, and release factor. Toe down is what the shaft's doing. If you took your hands on the grip in the head, then you pulled it down. It's the toe down is the head moving down centripetal force during the swing. And then kick angle is the opposite direction. It's moving at the 90 degree where it's moving, the head moves back away from. And the neat thing is during the swing, it's moving all of those parameters together. So we're measuring all of that during your swing. And then the release factor is something that really came through in all of our testing, is that you could have someone with the exact same club head speed, exact same tempo, very similar, if not exact, toe down and kick angle, but how they rotate their wrist, whether they start early and start rotating all the way through the shot, or if they get to the very end, and you've seen a lot on slow-mo and PGA Tour, they get to the very end and then it's really quick and abrupt. They could be everything the same other than that release factor. They need different shafts. They need different kick points. So that little doohickey, as you warm up, you take three swings with it, and we're going to catalog 44 different shafts, and we're going to narrow that down to two or three for you to try.
That is so interesting. I really like the part about the release, because I just came from a lesson recently, and she kept telling me when I was hitting my driver that I was turning my wrists too soon, and I just didn't understand what she was talking about. And now, it makes more sense to me now. And she says that people turn their wrists at different times, and it's so interesting that that measures that.
No, and I am I start releasing the club, much like you, Morgan, early as well. And it's a slower, drawn-out process versus that quick in the end. And there's no right or wrong. It's just how our swing DNA is made up. The cool thing about it is that our black doohickey, the shaft optimizer, measures it so that we can make sure that you get the shaft that's going to help you with your swing and DNA and how you release the club play better. And that is an amazing thing for golfers to hear.
I think so. I really like that. And with all the technology behind it, can you kind of explain to us the process behind it? How does the whole fitting work?
Yeah, and fitters will sometimes put it in different orders, and it's whatever is comfortable for them. One thing that we teach is that it's fun to get the shaft first. And in the past, and I've seen enough fittings and done enough fittings, and it can be difficult not only for the fitter, but the person getting fit. Because you only have so many swings, and if you got to try 20 shafts, you're gone. You cannot swing consistently that long. And for the fitter, you're like brute force fitting. I say that a lot here. Try this shaft, no, try this shaft, no, try this shaft, because you're just looking for a good outcome. And that line starts to deteriorate really fast where the person swinging doesn't have enough quality swings, and the person fitter can't pick fast enough to brute force fit them. So during the fitting process, I like to get the shaft first. I like to let them warm up. Let's find the right shaft for you. Once we know those two or three shafts. Let's make sure that we get the length, get the lie with the correct shaft, and our lie fit club, which is a patented lie fit club, and then we go into head selection. And we can do that in a variety of ways. And a lot of fitters are a little bit different on how they do that. But you got a pretty good generalization of, you know, we have eight solid irons in our line, but the two or three that you'd like to try, and usually that gets down to two pretty fast based on handicap or player ability or watch them through the process. And then we go to a confirmation stage. We know the shaft or the shafts, one or two, and we know the heads, and let's try them. And let's, with the launch monitors that are so readily available these days, or outdoors where you can visibly see what's going on with a fitter, that's become very easy. And it's so wonderful for the consumer to take, you know, to take that process and own it and say, all right, not only did my swing DNA dictate the shaft, not only did I have a say-so in the head itself, I saw my length and I saw my lie. Now I'm hitting the shot, and I'm like, wow, that is better. And I can see that, and they feel so much more comfortable when they go and purchase the set because they know that it was custom built just for them. So it's that's how I would put the process together. A few people might change it around, do head selection first or do grip selection first, depending on how they want to change it. But it all takes, it probably took me longer to say it than it takes. It all takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and we've got a great scientific quality fitting for that person.
With all the stuff that's been said, I want to remind people they can go to a sub-site that Mizuno has set up called www.mizunomatch.com and get a ton more information on this.
It's such a cute – I don't mean to interrupt. It's such a cute site. I'm a total cheese ball, so I think that it, the whole match kind of thing where it says – I got to look it up now to get the exact – we're flattered it's not you, it's me. That's hilarious to me.
And made famous by George Costanza.
Yes.
I appreciate you saying that. It was fun actually to put that site together and have a little bit of talk on that. And it was basically came from the breakup. You know, you and your irons are not right for you, each other. And you both kind of know it. So it's the breakup. So now the Mizuno match is putting you together with the right person. That's kind of how that the marketing side of it was. But the neat thing about that is that there's a two-minute video that takes you through the entire process, seeing someone get fit. And then there's a wonderful consumer reaction video, which is about a minute and a half long. We're down at the PGA show in Orlando. We just took consumers through and videotaped their reaction afterwards. And I think that's good for consumers to watch, too, and go, wow. I mean, these are just regular people getting fit and getting it done the right way. So it's a great site. It's got a great dealer locator. You can plug in your zip code, and we'll show you all of our performance fitting partners out there where you can go. And it's just a great resource to kick off, you know, your start and look for the next great set of Mizuno irons for you.
I really do. And again, it's MizunoMatch, MATCH.com, and definitely check that out. Going back to, you know, the optimizer and just shafts in general, is we get the question of, is it the chicken or the egg? And people are looking for new clubs, and they want to go out and buy new clubs. And then once they get their swing honed, they want to get fit at that time. Can you tell everybody from the average golfer what a perfect fit iron will do for them?
And I'm glad you said average golfer, and I'll approach it from, let's talk the best players in the world. I can make a pretty strong statement that when Nicklaus grew up playing and Palmer grew up playing and Trevino grew up playing and Gary Player grew up playing, they were not playing the right equipment. The best players in the world today have so much more technology on their side to pick the right shaft, to pick the right head, to pick the right ball, to be measured a thousand different ways. And the neat thing about that is it has quickly transpired into the amateur side of the world. So if you are a low handicap amateur, a mid, or even a high, and I'll even say the high has got more advantage from this, you've got technology on your side that works for the best players in the world. So we want to make sure that if you're going out to get fit for a set of golf clubs, it doesn't matter about your ability. It really just matters about your commitment to the game, and a lot of people that are going to get fit have that commitment. That the shaft optimizer, the PFS, it's going to take you from knowing, you don't have to know all the intricate details of your swing, but take your swing DNA and how you deliver the shaft to the ball with the head. We're going to measure it quickly, and you're going to play better. There's no doubt you'll have the squareness of hits will go up dramatically, getting the ball airborne will go up dramatically. The feel of the shot and knowing what that shaft doing will go up dramatically. And again, that confirmation stage, it's fun to watch the consumers with an aha moment to find all these different things that come together so quickly. And then we're able to put a head and a shaft together and then hit it and go, wow. And I've seen that from 40 handicaps right down to plus four handicaps. So anyone can take advantage of this, and it will make you better.
Well, and I think that it would offer such encouragement, especially for the average golfer or the person just starting out when they're struggling and then they get properly fit and then all of a sudden they're doing things that they'd never done before, and it just kind of keeps getting them more excited about the game.
Oh, there's no doubt there, Morgan. And we see that all the time where we'll get letters in after people have gone to the PFS, or letters from a territory manager who saw a consumer that wrote them a letter afterwards because they are at a fitting day saying, you know, I was a little skeptical. I knew my friend went through it. I wanted to try it. I did it. I was impressed. I bought it, and I am playing so much better, and thank you, thank you, thank you. And then that's the kind of letters that drive us internally to say, all right, we've done a great job. We've got to keep going. Let's keep it going. And we read those aloud in product development teams all the time. So it really happens, and it's fun to see.
Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I have kind of a two-part question. The first is, you know, with this technology available everywhere, is there any reason a consumer should not get fit? I mean, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek way to put it, to look at things. But, you know, going back to what some of our readers and listeners say, and we get emails about this a lot, about getting fit, and even that same amount about going to get lessons. And I want to stress the fact, if you are a beginning golfer, there's no reason to be embarrassed to go into a golf store and get fit. I think a lot of people are. They don't want to swing in front of people because they're afraid the contact won't be clean. A simple lie angle change, which is also done in a Mizuno fitting, can mean the difference of missing the ball all the way out on the toe or heel and hitting the sweet spot every single time. And a shaft change will obviously do even more. So I want to urge people, no matter what you're doing, to go out and get fit. And don't worry about the fact of your skill level, because I promise you it will make a difference. But can you find a reason when somebody's purchasing new irons that they shouldn't get fit?
That's an extremely good question, and I'll try to answer it in a lot of different ways and come back at you. And I do see a lot of consumers, and they're on the mid to mid-high to high handicap side, and they're a little timid about getting fit. And I'm like, listen, Luke Donald, number 7 in the world, our staff guy, always continues to get fit. He's always checking his equipment. So if number 7 in the world sees the value of getting fit to play better, then the number 7 millionth in the world should see the value to fit and get better. So you're doing nothing different than
I think that's my ranking number. How did you know that?
Just luck. Sometimes I'm more lucky than good. So the reasons not to get fit are so few, and there are a few compared to the reasons to get fit. The fitting process, from everything we've done internally looking at the iron world and everything we've seen externally, it's about a 4 to 5 month process. So it's from the thought of I'd like to get new irons to purchasing the irons, the average is 4 to 5 months. So it is what we consider a considered purchase, much like going and getting a suit and getting tailored for a suit, or much like buying a high-dollar piece of equipment like a TV or something else like that. You're going to do your research first. So when you said MizunoMatch.com, it's a great kickoff. So that 4 to 5 month search needs to be quickly done, and it just happens. But I'll also come from the consumer point of view, the cost of golf. It's your passion, and you want to play. And we said, think about it this way. Add up everything you do for a year. Add up if you're a member of the club and you're paying dues. Add up if you're paying, you know, the weekly warrior and you're paying your green fees when you're out there. Add up what you pay for clothes. Add up what you pay for travel. Add up, and you'll quickly find that your irons are a small, small, small portion of that. But having the right fit irons and the right fit bag and the clubs in that bag will make you enjoy the other dollars you're spending on the golf course more. It's going to help you achieve levels you've never seen before, and we're going to make you better. And when consumers think about it quickly that way, they're like, wow, you're 100% right. So there's a lot of reasons to get fit. The reasons not to get fit, and the ones we've come across, and I'll be speak very frankly, is, and you hit it right on the head, is that they're just a little afraid. They're a little afraid of the unknown. So we've really tried to train our fitters, saying, you know, if you have someone coming in, don't say, hey, I'm going to fit you for a set of clubs, because the consumer is like, oh, this person's going to sell a lot of stuff. No. Are you playing the right shaft? Most of the times, they're not sure what their shaft is, and 99.9% of the times they're like, you know, I don't know. Well, let's find out. You might be playing the right shaft. Let's see. Because the shaft optimizer, finding the right shaft, it's about a minute and a half process. And it just kicks it off and makes it more, we're just going to try to find out if what you're doing is right, and if it's we can make it better, we'll show you. So that has been a big learning curve for fitters, and it's a good learning curve for the person getting fit. But at the end of the day, if you know the goals, and that's to help someone play better and enjoy the game, then it's well worth it.
That's really, you know, the right way to put it. I want one. That's all I can say. I would fit myself daily, I think, and there's no specific reason why, but I just want one. I like things like this. We understand that those in the THP, we have our fall golf outing and demo day coming up, and we understand that certain people that are our listeners are going to be out there, and it's still open for people who want to come. They're going to have a chance to win a custom set of clubs, where they're going to go to a store near them, get fit on the optimizer, and they're going to win those irons completely free.
A custom set of Mizuno irons.
Correct.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love hearing that.
I'd like to know why I can't be a contestant in my own contest, but that's for another show.
Right, exactly. That's a much longer segment, right?
You got that right.
With all of the technology that Mizuno has come out with and with this amazing fitting system, what's next?
That's the other 50% of what I do, and that's the other 50%, and that's thinking further out. And the way we look at it is we have a timeline that we draw out that has new product introductions about 5 years out that we draw, and then we also put the fitting process on top of those products. So anything that you see us launch in irons or in wedges, it's going to be perfectly integrated into the performance fitting system and with the shaft optimizer. So things that we're looking at next is we've gone to our shaft vendors, and one of our huge partners is True Temper, and we're like, okay, in the past you might have had an OEM equipment manufacturer come in and say, oh, I want this shaft, this head, and this grip, and we're just going to make it. We're coming in with volumes of data saying, here's approximately 50,000 swing DNA captures that we have. You have a hole in your lineup. We're going to help you develop a product that's out there that's going to make consumers play better. So we've gone to True Temper and kicked off three different shaft projects that's going to enhance that performance fitness system based on the swing DNA captures we've already created. We're also able to take that and say, all right, where are people having issues in the fitting process with the head itself? Is it getting the ball launched easily? Is it missing its on the toe that we can help move and shift and expand the sweet area out there? Anything like that is going to drive new product creation from an iron head point of view, so that as we take the spectrum and the bell curve of golfers out there, we can hit more of it and make sure that we have the right heads and shafts available for them to be able to perform better. And then we lay that on top of our product launch time cycle, and it seems to be working pretty well. So we feel like there's a ton of runway from heads and shafts. And then other things we're looking at is you got 14 clubs in your bag, and we know that irons will make up anywhere from 9 to 7 of those. But we also make wonderful wedges at Mizuno. How do we make sure we find out what pitching wedge you're going to use and what's the other 2 or 3 wedges you want in your bag? Because we know the shaft, we know the grip, we know the length, we know the lie. You've already confirmed it. So we're trying to make sure there's easy bridges for a consumer to say, yeah, I need to the pitching wedge, but, oh, I need those gaps down at the other side to help me perform better as well. So the runway is pretty long for us, and what we have projects in the works to enhance that performance fitting system and to rely on that shaft optimizer so that we can do a lot of new, great, different things and just enhance what we've already brought.
I think that's wonderful. I'm more of a beginner golfer myself, and I always think it's so interesting because I hear all these people talking about, oh, well, I need a 56 and a 60, and I need a 54-degree wedge, and I'm sitting here thinking, my wedges say S, P, and A, you know?
right.
And I know the distances, and I kind of understand what I'm supposed to do with them, but I always wonder, well, how come I'm not looking for a 56 and a 54 and a 52, and how do I know what I need? And
right.
It sounds like that would be something that would definitely help me personally.
It helps us all. Internally, we fit ourselves before we fit any consumers. And that's one question in all of our heads. We're like, you know, we've done such a good job of getting all the components together. This is an easy thing to help consumers fill in the distance gaps, fill in their scoring clubs, enhance their iron set, and enhance their total bag. So something we're working very hard on to make sure that when it gets available to the consumer, it's easy, it's scientific, it makes a lot of sense, and there is a great way to fill that bag in and go play better golf.
Well, and that's the ideal thing behind everything is the better you play in most cases, the more you enjoy it. And if this gives somebody the opportunity to enjoy the game even just a little more, it goes a long way in saying what it stands for.
You got it.
I want to remind everybody again that they can check out www.mizunomatch.com. It's a fun site. You're definitely going to want to look at it if you're anywhere near thinking about new irons. This is 100% the way to go.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And we encourage everyone to go to that site and go and experience it. I think once you experience the process and you're part of the process, and it's not just, again, I'll say brute force fitting, that you're like, wow, I can confirm it and see it, I know you'll play better. And if you're going to spend that much money in a considerable purchase, you're going to demand as a consumer, hey, I want it built personally just for me. So I hope people do go do that, and I appreciate you helping Josh and Morgan get the word out.
Well, now I just need to go open up a golf store so I can have one of these little doohickeys.
Exactly.
And so I can take it to the range and fit everybody around here that we do. But I want to thank Chuck Couch for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure talking anything like this. Our listeners have so many shaft questions, and it's just a great idea to have people on who can expand their knowledge in every way when thinking about purchasing new irons or making their game better.
Well, Josh and Morgan, thank you so much for the opportunity. I look forward to our next talk, and I tell everyone, go out there, get fit, and play better golf.
Sounds good.
We definitely will. Well, we definitely want to thank Chuck Couch for coming on the show. That was enjoyable, and the education I got alone was pretty amazing.
Yeah, me too. And I've been saying for a long time that fitting is really important, but I'm definitely one of those beginners who was afraid to get something like that done because I didn't want to hit a club in front of other people. But after about 2 minutes, you completely forget that there's anybody around, and it's actually fun. It's really exciting to see what you're doing and what you can do to improve your game, and then to be able to go out there and see how much better you can perform. So I highly urge people, even beginners who are afraid, to give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, like he said, it's a few swings with an iron that's got a black doohickey on the side.
Yeah.
Why not give it a shot?
Yeah.
I did it. It was incredible. I found that their choices were spot on to what I've gotten fit for, through high-end fittings. And, I was very, very pleased. So we want to thank him for coming on the show, and we look forward to having him on again.
Absolutely. And don't forget to check out MizunoMatch.com. It's such a fun site. And I'm telling you, just the beginning part where it says it's not you, it's me, that's hilarious.
Yeah, they have quite a few little things on there, and it is a great site. We will be back next week. And for all of us playing from the rough over here, we hope you're keeping it in the fairway. Goodbye, everybody.